All right, so get ready for this deep dive. We're going to be unpacking a case that'll make you want to double-check your international contracts. Imagine you sell something, right? And it passes inspection before it even ships out. But then the buyer, get this, claims it's faulty when it arrives and refuses to pay. Sounds like a total nightmare, doesn't it? Well, this is exactly what went down in BP Oil z Petro Ecuador. It's a landmark case that shows just how complex international trade law can be.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. This seemingly straightforward transaction spiraled into a multi-million dollar dispute, all because of a few crucial details and how they were interpreted. It's kind of crazy when you think about it.
Totally. So let's set the scene. We've got BP Oil. They agree to sell Petro Ecuador 140,000 barrels of gasoline. Sounds pretty simple at first, right?
You would think so, but not so fast. The contract uses the Incoterm CFR La Libertad Ecuador. You've probably seen these Incoterms, these three-letter codes. They're in a lot of contracts. And they're not just legal jargon. They actually determine who bears the risk if something goes wrong during shipping.
Okay, got it. So Incoterms, they're important.
Very important. So in this case, CFR means that while BP is responsible for delivering the gasoline to Ecuador, the risk actually transfers to Petro Ecuador once that gasoline's loaded onto the ship in Texas.
Ah, so that little Incoterm has some big implications then for who's ultimately responsible if the gasoline goes bad, but it gets even more complicated, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. To make sure the quality of the gasoline is good, BP and Petro Ecuador agree to have it tested. Tested for what's called gum content before it even leaves Texas. Petro Ecuador goes a step further and hires a third-party company, Sabalt, to do the testing. So Sabalt's basically acting as Petro Ecuador's agent for this whole thing. The gasoline passes Sabalt's inspection, no problem. BP buys it from Shell, and it's off to Ecuador. Everything seems like it's going smoothly, you know, until the gasoline actually gets there.
Okay, so the gasoline is on its way, everyone's happy, and then what happened? What went wrong?
Well, when the gasoline gets to Ecuador, Petro Ecuador does another gum content test. And this time, the results show the gum content is too high. Doesn't meet the terms of the contract. So Petro Ecuador says, nope, we're not taking it. And that leaves BP with a pretty big problem. They have to find a new buyer for 140,000 barrels of gasoline that nobody really wants.
Well, I can only imagine that feeling at BP when they got that news. What a curveball. So what do? Did they just accept the loss?
Not a chance. BP sues both Petro Ecuador for refusing the shipment, and they also sue Sabalt for supposedly not inspecting the gasoline properly. And this is where things get really interesting. Legally speaking, the district court made a bunch of mistakes, critical errors that end up sending the case down a very unexpected path.
Okay, so let's break down those errors. What did the district court get wrong, and why does it even matter?
So first of all, they apply Ecuadorian law instead of what's called the CISG. The CISG, that stands for the United Nations Convention on Contracts for the International Sale of Goods. And this is a huge mistake because both the US and Ecuador have signed on to the CISG, and the contract didn't specifically say they didn't want to use it.
Wait, so even though the contract said laws of Ecuador, the CISG still applies. That seems kind of sneaky, like some kind of technicality.
It is, and it's a really important point that people often miss. You see, the CISG is a lot of times incorporated into a country's own domestic laws. So just because a contract says to use a country's law, that doesn't mean the CISG doesn't apply. This is a big takeaway for anybody who's drafting international contracts. You've got to be super clear about whether you want the CISG to apply or not. Don't leave it up to chance.
All right, so lesson one, be explicit about the CISG. No ambiguity. What else did the district court mess up?
Well, they also got the CFR Incoterm wrong. They thought that BP had to guarantee the quality of the gasoline all the way until it arrived in Ecuador, not just when it was shipped. Remember, CFR means the risk switches over at the point of shipment.
Right, that little Incoterm really comes back to bite.
Yeah.
So, because of what the district court did, BP is in a tough spot now.
Exactly. And to make things even worse, the district court dismissed the case against Sabalt without thinking about whether their liability hinges on BP knowingly shipping bad gasoline. It was like a whole series of missteps, and that led to the case being appealed.
Got it. So the district court made some big mistakes. So what happens when the appeals court takes a look at this whole mess? So the appeals court steps in, they're ready to clean up this mess. What happens?
Well, the appeals court basically says, hold on a second, district court. You've got this all wrong. They point out that the CISG automatically applies because neither the US or Ecuador decided to opt out of it.
So this is where the CISG swoops in and saves the day, right? At least for BP.
Exactly. The appeals court makes it clear that the CISG isn't just some obscure technicality. It's a major international treaty that clarifies tons of stuff about these international sales contracts. And in this case, it's super clear. The risk transferred over at the point of shipment. and BP's only responsibility was to deliver gasoline that met the contract's requirements at that specific moment.
Okay, so the CISG backs up that whole risk transfer thing, the one with the CFR Incoterm. But what about the fact that the gasoline was seemingly fine in Texas, but then it failed the test in Ecuador? Does the CISG even address that?
Yeah, that's where it gets even more interesting. The CISG brings in this whole concept of conformity when it comes to the goods. Basically, the seller has to deliver stuff that conforms to what the contract says. At the moment, the risk transfers to the buyer, but there's a catch.
Okay, I figured there had to be a catch. What is it?
The CISG also looks at whether the seller knew or should have known about any defects that would cause the goods to become non-conforming down the line.
So even though the gasoline technically passed that test in Texas, if BP knew it was going to go bad during shipping, they could still be in trouble.
That's right. It's kind of like you can't just ignore potential problems or try to trick the buyer. The appeals court realized this, and they sent the case back down to the lower court. But they gave specific instructions, they said. You need to figure out if BP knew this gasoline was going to go bad during shipping.
Oh man, the plot thickens. We've got this Incoterm that's determining the risk transfer. We've got the CISG setting standards for conformity. And now, on top of it all, we have this question of whether BP knew they were shipping bad gasoline. This is getting pretty intense.
It is. It really is. It really highlights why it's so important to have good legal counsel who really get all the ins and outs of international trade law. A tiny little detail like gum inhibitors could make or break your case.
Speaking of gum inhibitors, we can't forget about Sabalt.
Yeah.
The company that did that initial inspection in Texas. The district court let them off the hook, but the appeals court seemed to suggest they could still be held liable. This is all connected, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The appeals court said that if Petroecuador was wrong to reject the gasoline, then Sabalt's off the hook. It doesn't matter if their inspection was faulty or not. But, and this is a big but.
Oh man, I'm listening. What's the but?
But if it turns out that BP acted in bad faith, you know, they knowingly shipped gasoline that they knew was bad, then Sabalt could be held liable. I mean, think about it. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to be looking out for Petroecuador, making sure that gasoline was good before it left Texas.
So basically, Sabalt's just stuck waiting to see what happens with BP.
Yeah.
Their entire fate depends on whether BP was trying to pull a fast one with that gasoline. This whole thing about international contracts is so complicated.
It really is.
Yeah.
And this case shows why you need to understand not just what the law says, but also the context. And, you know, to think about all the potential consequences, things you might not even realize.
So let's bring this back to our listeners. Some of them might be thinking, this is all interesting, but I don't sell gasoline internationally. So how does this even apply to me? What are some key takeaways from this case that anybody who's involved in international sales should really remember?
This case has a lot of lessons, especially for things like drafting contracts and litigation strategy. But first and foremost, you got to be really clear about the law you're using. Do you want to use the CISG or not? Don't just assume that if you pick a specific country's laws, that's all you need. The CISG might still apply, so you've got to be super specific about it.
Got it. So lesson one, spell it out when it comes to the CISG. Don't leave any room for doubt.
Yeah.
What else should our listeners be aware of?
When you're putting those contracts together, make sure you define exactly what makes the goods conforming and set up clear testing procedures. That way, you'll avoid disputes later on and make sure everyone agrees on the quality standards.
So basically, pay attention to the details, even the little ones. In the world of international contracts, those little details can have huge consequences.
Exactly. And from a litigation standpoint, always be prepared to question if the wrong law is being used. Yeah. If that happens, it can totally derail your whole case. Remember, the district court using Ecuadorian law instead of the CISG almost cost BP millions. And also, pay attention to how Incoterms like CFR or FOB work with the CISG's rules about risk transfer. They might seem like technical things, but they can have a huge impact on who's responsible when things go wrong.
Okay, so we've got choice of law, conformity, and Incoterms. Any other nuggets of wisdom before we finish up this deep dive?
One last thing, but it's really important. Even though the CISG is all about legal obligations, it's still based on this idea of good faith. You can't just try to find loopholes or be dishonest with the people you're doing business with.
So basically, even in this whole complex world of international trade, honesty and transparency are still the most important things.
Exactly. If you want to be successful in the global marketplace, you got to build trust and have good relationships. That's what really matters in the long run.
This has been a really eye-opening deep dive. We've learned so much from international treaties and Incoterms, all the way to the ethical side of international trade.
Yeah.
It feels like I've just had a crash course in everything you need to know about buying and selling across borders.
It's amazing what we can learn from just one case. This BP Oil v. Petro Ecuador case is a great example of how international trade law is anything but boring. It's full of twists and turns, and even the smallest details can have a big impact.
Before we wrap things up, I want to go back to something we've been talking about this whole time. Those gum inhibitors.
Oh yeah, the gum inhibitors. That whole issue adds another layer to this case, doesn't it? It's not just some technical detail. It goes right to the core of whether BP was acting ethically. Were they being honest? Did they knowingly ship gasoline that they knew degrade, or was it an honest mistake?
Yeah, it really makes you think. You get so caught up in all the legal stuff, the Incoterms, the CISG, that you kind of forget about the ethics of it all.
Right. It's so important. In international trade, your reputation is everything. If people start thinking you cut corners or you're dishonest, it'll catch up with you.
So what's the lesson here for our listeners? What can they do to avoid being in a situation like this? You know, facing a huge loss and a bad reputation.
I think the key is to be cautious and transparent when you're dealing with international transactions. Do your homework, research your partners, and be super careful when you're writing those contracts. Remember, those little details can make a big difference down the line.
This has been a really interesting deep dive. BP Oil v. Petro Ecuador, we started with gasoline, then gum inhibitors, and ended up in this whole legal battle. It's a lot to think about. It just goes to show you that knowledge is power when it comes to international trade. Understanding things like the CISG, knowing your Incoterms, and always acting ethically can make all the difference.
I totally agree. And don't forget to get good legal advice from someone who knows the ins and outs of international transactions. They can help you avoid those costly mistakes.
Absolutely. So there you have it. A deep dive into a case that proves international trade law is anything but boring. It's a world of contracts, treaties, and even a bit of mystery. Until next time, happy contracting, everyone.